what we need to get out tonight in our first installment in this series, teaching installment. So tonight's subject is, what is praise? What is praise? Turn to someone next to you and say, do you know what praise is? And turn to someone else and say, do you really want to learn more about praise? All right. So I believe as we open our hearts and minds, we will receive from God about this. So let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege, and we thank you for the opportunity to study the Word of God together tonight. We thank you for your Word. We trust the teacher, the Holy Spirit, who will unveil and unfold and reveal the Word of God unto our spirits, illuminate our hearts and minds, and give us clear, concise understanding of the truths that we need to learn and receive tonight. We thank you that our eyes are open, our ears are attentive, and our heart is receptive and ready to receive all that you have for us tonight, Lord. And we give you all of the praise and honor and glory. We thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that shall destroy yokes of bondage and shall break barriers and blockages in our thinking about praise. We thank you that you're taking us to a new level of faith-filled, joyful, cheerful praise in our lives. In Jesus' name, to the glory of God, amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, and I have a lot of scriptures, so just get your fingers ready to write down the scripture references and go back over them, or you can flip along with me if you want to keep up and go along with me. Okay, Ephesians 1, 6. New Living Translation says, we praise God for his gracious, glorious grace, which he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. We praise God for his glorious grace he has poured out on us. 2 Timothy 2:9, New King James Version says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, New Living Translation. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. So what is praise? What is praise? Praise, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, saints of God, praise is celebrating God as our heart's true home. The scriptures are filled with injunctions and instructions to praise the Lord. 1 Chronicles 29:20, New Living Translation. Then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord, the God of their ancestors. And they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the King. Psalms 106, verse 1. Psalms 106, verse 1, New Living. It says, praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Amen. Psalms 113, verse 1. Psalms 113, verse 1. These are all in the New Living, so you can just keep it in that same version. Praise the Lord. Yes, give praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, is that instruction? Is that an injunction? That's a directive, right? All right, Psalms 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise him, all you people of the earth. Psalms 150, verse 6. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that breathes, that counts all living creatures, right? Sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. everybody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So if we're going to obey these commands and directives from God, we must first learn what praise is. Praise includes three things that we're going to work tonight and replace or renew in your thinking. Number one, it includes commending. Everybody say commending.
Commending.
Number two, expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. Number three, glorifying. Glorifying. Everybody say glorifying.
Glorifying.
Especially by crediting with perfection. Crediting with perfection. Now, these are Noah Webster's dictionary definitions. And so they're pretty in line with what the scripture teaches. Definitions of praise, as we break each of those three things down. Commending, everybody say commending.
Commending.
Commending, to commend someone is to entrust for care or preservation, or number two, to recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. To recommend as worthy of confidence or notice. So praising God by commendation thus means that we entrust ourselves to his care and recommend that others do the same. Now, I'm going to read out of the Modern English Version here for a minute. And in Psalms chapter 7, verse 1, Psalm 7:1, it says, O Lord, my God, in you I put my trust. Save me from all those who persecute me and deliver me. He was commending himself to the Lord, to trusting the Lord. Amen. We need to do that today more now than ever.
Amen.
Psalms chapter 9. Turn a couple of chapters over. Verse 10. Same version, Modern English Version. It says, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. That's commending. That's commendation. Amen. Psalms 16, verse 1. King James Version this time. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. How many of you know you need to do this often? Particularly when you're going through a pressure, problematic circumstance. Preserve me, O Lord. Why? Because the enemy is always trying to do two things. We always said he's always trying to dilute you or to pollute you. And so when he brings that circumstantial resistance to the word and to the will of God for your life, you need to be preserved. And part of your praising is to do what we call commending your trust and your confidence in the Lord. That as you go through, come on now, you're not going to be scathed and scorned and shaken and broken.
Amen.
Let's go to Psalms 20, verse 7. Psalms chapter 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, King James Version. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now today we know that there's a lot of questions and a lot of chaos going on, a lot of confusion. Who do we trust? Well, we commend. This is a time where we commend our trust and confidence in who? In the Lord. We will remember the name of the Lord. So praise by commendation, friends, thus applies, listen to this, the promises of God to our personal circumstance. Praising or praise by commendation thus applies the promises of God to our personal circumstance. Now, this is more than the song portion of the service on Sundays, or Wednesday night. This is a personal praising, a personal commendation of applying the promises of God to your personal circumstances. That means you praise him because his word says who he is. His word defines and describes what he has done and what he's able to do. We commend ourselves to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So an example of this, I wrote down a prayer example of a father who's lost his job. Let's just say, just hypothetically, and that we know that's a real thing because people, because of the pandemic and because of situations, some people lose their job. So what do? Do you panic or do you praise? That's easier said than done. So his praise, this jobless father, his praise of God, or it could be a mother, it could be anybody, in such a situation might go something like this. Now just bear with me as I read this prayer I wrote down. Lord God, you are my provider in the name of Jesus. I praise you for you know that, so I know that you care for me and you care for my family. This is a personal interaction between you and the Father God, but you're applying the promises to your circumstances. You're commending, you're doing commendation. Father God, you are the God who knows and cares even for the sparrows. Jesus said that, right? And I know, excuse me for a minute, going to the next, that my wife, my children, and I are worth more to you than the sparrows are. Therefore, I choose not to worry, fret, or get upset. Instead, I will boast of your goodness to us in the past. For there have been other times, Father God, when we didn't even know how we were going to pay our bills. Yet you always made a way, even when there seems to be no way. Now I'm going to stop right there, because remember when we talked about faith, we talked about what? We talked about Satan never challenges you about last time. So he wants to take your focus away from what God has done last time and put it on this time. You're not going to get your healing. This time you're not going to get your needs met. This time your bills are not going to get paid. He's always going to challenge you about this time. This time God's not going to come through and get your bills taken care of. But you got to praise. And how you praise is using this, what we call commending or commendation. Let me keep going in this prayer. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your care and provision. Thank you, Father God, that you are too faithful to fail. Who's the focus on? The Lord. Not what you can do, not what's going on, not what you don't have. Not about even what you don't know at the moment. You're praising God as an act of commending. Commendation. Okay? Now here, let me keep going. I know I can trust you and lean on, depend upon, and rely totally on you. I know that your eyes are on my family, and you will not forget us nor forsake us. Even as you provided food for your people and as they wandered through the wilderness, today I declare by faith that you will provide food for us too. You alone, dear Father, are my refuge. I choose to not be shaken by fear, doubt, and unbelief. I choose not to respond to defeat, discouragement, or despair. You alone, Father God, are the source and supply of all that I have and everything I ever want and need in Jesus' name. Y'all see how this praise is going? I praise you because you are faithful. You are faithful. You are the everlasting one. I know that you are fully aware of what we are going through, and I thank you in advance for what you will do for us. To your name be the glory today, tomorrow, next week, and next month in my life. I praise you and honor you. You are my God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say glory to God.
Now,
the next part of it is expressing approval. That was the first part. The next part is expressing approval or favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or favorable judgment of. So to approve of someone is to have or express a favorable opinion of him or to show esteem. Personal experience is at the heart of this expression of praise as well. Now, I'm going to go to Psalms chapter 10, MEV, Modern English Version, verse number 14. And it says, you have seen it, for you observe trouble and grief. You repay it with your hand. The unfortunate one entrusts it to you. You are the helper of the orphan. You're reminding God of who he is. You say, I've approved what you've done. I approve of what you said you will do. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said, glory to God.
Glory to God.
Psalms 59, verse 16. MEV again. But I will sing of your power. I will sing aloud of your loving kindness in the morning. For you have been my refuge and an escape in the day of my trouble. You have been my refuge and escape in the day of my trouble. Wow. Sounds like important praises to go forth. Isn't that good? All right, let's go to Psalm 63. Psalms chapter 63. Verse 1 and 2, still same translation, Modern English Version. It says, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you in a dry and thirsty land with no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and see your power and your glory. So you see, praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he has won our acclaim and our adoration. It is reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our lives and a life of others. Praise God.
Praise God.
Now, remember when we were studying, y'all remember we were studying on our virtual Psalms 23. And that's an example because we talked about the 12 blessings of the empowered life. And so there are 12 things that you remember who he is as your shepherd. Will empower, will equip, and will enable you to experience and enjoy in life. So oftentimes, I mean, it's rarely a day or so that I miss, but I regularly and frequently make Psalms 23 a part of my devotion. Because why? You're praising him with his word. The Lord is my what? Shepherd. I shall not lack. And so I say, Father God, I thank you that you are my shepherd. I thank you that the Lord Jesus is the chief shepherd of my heart and my life and soul. I thank you, Father God, because you are my shepherd, that I shall not lack. I do not lack for ability. I do not lack for opportunity. I never lack for money. I do not lack for strength. I do not lack for peace. And I praise you, Father God, for your wisdom. I do not lack for wisdom. So I ask you for an abundant supply of skillful and godly wisdom today. Wisdom that comes from above, that comes from your hand. For you said in your word, dear Father God, that the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth, your mouth, comes knowledge and understanding. I thank you for wisdom and knowledge and understanding to face this day wisely and not foolishly. And then I might flip over to the New Living Translation or the Passion Translation. And I read Psalms 21, just verse 1 in those translations or the Amplified. He is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. It will not lack. The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I have everything that I need. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I always have more than enough. Come on now. Somebody say, glory to God. So that's an example of it. Expressing a prayer. I thank you that you're my shepherd. I praise you because you are my shepherd. I shall not be in lack. You make me lie down in green pastures. You lead me beside the still, restful, calm, peaceful waters. You restore and revive my life. I thank you, Father, that you do it every time and all the time in Jesus' name. So I just worked Psalms 23 in my devotional praise time. That's an example. Somebody say, praise the Lord. There's 12 examples where you can praise God and express approval and favorable judgment of. Amen. Now, the last, third one is glorifying. Everybody say glorifying. So to glorify someone is to bestow honor, praise, or admiration. These are all Webster's dictionary definitions. In other words, giving glory to someone specifically identifies what is admirable in the person. What is admirable in the person. This example is quite frequent in Scripture. God is recognized as being good, Psalms 34:8, faithful, Psalms 33:4, righteous, Psalms 11, verse 7, just, 2 Chronicles 12, 6:6, merciful and forgiving, Daniel 9:9. His law, his character, and his actions are described as being perfect and flawless. So you got a whole bunch of glorifying points where you can glorify and magnify God. Amen. Thank you that you're faithful. Thank you that you're righteous. Thank you, Father God, you are good. Thank you, Father God, that you're merciful and forgiving. You're not just going, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, this by rote. You're giving specificity to your words of glorification. And you're glorifying God. You're remembering him based on his word. The word says he's good, and you say he's good. The word says he's faithful, and so you say he's faithful. He is faithful, and I thank you for being faithful. I thank you that you're too faithful to fail. You will always be faithful and true to me, and I praise you and glorify your name. He is righteous. He's just. Now, his word, is his law, his character, his actions are described as being perfect and flawless. 2 Samuel 22:31 in the NIV this time. As for God, his way is what? Perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. The Lord's word is flawless. There's not one chink in his word, in his armor. There's not one jot or tittle that's going to fall or fail or falter. Psalms 19, verse 7, NIV again. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. Isaiah 25, verse 1. Isaiah 25, verse 1, NIV again. The Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name for in perfect faithfulness. In perfect faithfulness, you have done wonderful things. Come on now. Woo, glory to God. Come on and just praise him for his perfect faithfulness and for doing wonderful things in our lives. Wonderful things. His perfect faithfulness. You know, if we get our eyes off God, we start looking at how many things are unfaithful and imperfect. People, problems, the pressure you're under, the predicament you're in. He says, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things, things planned long ago. So in every circumstance, you can say, God, this didn't catch you off guard. This didn't catch you by surprise. We're not here by mistake. If I'm here, you're here with me, and if you are with me, you are for me. Come on now. If God be for me, this cannot be against me. This cannot stay arrayed against me in defeat, in destruction, or in despair. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, that you're perfect in faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Now, one example of this one is Psalms 103. Again, occasionally I roll through this chapter. This chapter is a good example of scriptures that glorifies God. Psalms 103. We might call it or entitle it the benefit and blessing chapter. The blessings of our benefits. Now, if you go through and study Psalms 103, you'll find, again, just like Psalm 23, 12 benefits. 12 benefits. In this psalm, David lists some of the many praiseworthy benefits of knowing God. Praising God by glorifying him is simply recognizing and testifying to all these admirable qualities of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. I don't forget your benefits today, Lord. I thank you that you forgive every one of my iniquities, and you heal every single one of my diseases. I thank you that you redeem my life from destruction. You crown me with loving kindness and tender mercies, which are mine. Hallelujah. You fill my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm strong. I'm overcoming. I'm soaring today. Now, you know, if you have benefits in a natural situation, like medical benefits or dental benefits or some benefits from your company or your employer or through your business endeavors, you got benefits, but you never use them, then that's not on the fault of the one who gave you those benefits.
That's right.
It's on the fault of the one who is not using the benefits. Now, we always say, by faith, we acknowledge in order to access, in order to activate, in order to appropriate. And too often we may be missing out on some benefits because we're not glorifying God for what he has already provided. I hope you get that one. Another way we honor God is to recite his names and other designations of who he is. For another example, here's some examples. For examples, the Lord is a warrior, Exodus 15. Verse 3, the first part. The Lord is peace, Judges 6:24. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. 2 Samuel 22:2. Now you have to declare these and glorify him as these. You are my peace. Personalize it. The Lord is king. Psalms 10:16. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Psalms 27:1. The Lord is the strength of his people. Psalms 28:8. So in other words, this is another way we honor God. This is another way we glorify him and who he is. We recite his names. These are called typically redemptive names of God. Because some people just say God and they have all kinds of obscure or skewed concepts or or thoughts about God. But when you call him who he is, and you call him by one of his redemptive names, come on now, you're glorifying him, you're magnifying him, you're honoring him for who he is, his wonderful, admirable attributes. So as we honor God for who he is and for what he has done in our lives, we make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So you right now, you need to ask yourself, how is my praise life? How is my praise activity? How intentional and how inspirational is my praise? Now, some people like to listen to music. That's fine. But praise is a lifestyle. It's not a lyric. It's a lifestyle. It should be a language that flows from our heart through our own lips. Some people say, what lyrics was that? What song was that? Because they like to listen to it, but you got to praise the Lord. And that's where we're going. We're going to where we become addicted thanksgivers. We become praise-aholics. We become very purposeful in our worship services. To where we minimize the corporate praise environment, and we say, well, I'm just waiting to hear something, just like we do music. I'm just waiting to hear my song. I'm just waiting to hear my favorite tune. Come on now. I'm just waiting to hear the word. Well, God's waiting for you to give a word of praise. Give a word of thanks. Give a words that glorify and magnify him. Hallelujah. See, we give him a place to dwell in the midst of our life, because we refuse to take his benefits under this glorifying for granted. Here God saying, man, I got 12 outstanding God class, world class benefits, and you're sitting here taking them for granted. You know, the password is always thank you. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Now you should have a broader perspective on praise. So I'm coming into the courts of God. I got to have praise coming out of my lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to talk to you about characteristics of praise. Characteristics of praise. The first characteristic is praise puts God in first place. Praise puts God in first place. Praise is always turning our attention away from ourselves to God. You could always tell if somebody's low on praise because they're typically high on complaining and criticizing and judging. When your mouth is not uttering praise, your murmuring is muttering complaints. Amen. It is remembering and recounting who he is and what he has done, instead of wallowing in the mire of self-absorption. Too often, friends, unfortunately, we are incredibly self-centered and self-absorbed. I mean, all you got to do is spend a few hours on Facebook and see that. We are incredibly self-centered and self-absorbed people. Our first thought is too often how something or someone is affecting us. And we're big on amplifying the problem instead of amplifying our praise to God. Are you listening to me? Yeah. But praise puts God in first place. So that's the usually the first order, sister, when something comes up against you, when something is arrayed against you, the first thing you should do is praise God about it. Amen. You know, the Bible even tells us in the New Testament, in everything, give thanks. Amplified says, no matter what the circumstances is, be thankful and give thanks. Now, I think sometimes we read that like we're, what they call it, those people that weed words backwards? Dyslexics. Sometimes I think the spirit of dyslexia comes upon people. Cause they don't say in everything, give thanks. In everything, tell everybody how bad it is. In everything, complain about how big the problem is. Complain about how bad my boss is. Complain about how bad my job is. Complain about how they done me wrong in the family. Complain about how my money is funny. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good tonight. Praise turns our eyes from ourselves to God. It helps us zoom out of what is wrong with us and wrong with our circumstances, and helps us zoom in on what is right and righteous about God, our Father. It focuses our thoughts on His majesty and power and invites others to do the same. Think about if parents and grandparents would turn their attention off of the problems of their lives and the pressures and the predicaments that they find themselves in and turn their focus to God and say, we're going to zoom out for a minute of this, what's wrong. And we're going to zoom in on what's right with God and what's right and righteous about God. And we're just going to praise Him for a minute, not because this is wrong, but we're going to praise Him because God is right. God is righteous. God is holy. God is honorable. God is faithful.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It focuses our thoughts on His majesty and power and invites others to do the same. We're talking about the characteristic is putting God in first place. You're not spending a whole hour deliberating and discussing what are we going to do now. When are we going to get the money now? When are we going to get this taken care of? Man, you're wasting time. Instead of gazing at our own navel, our belly button, we raise our eyes, we raise our hands, we raise our hearts, come on now, to see His face and affirm again our awe of Him, our gratitude for His love and mercy, our absolute dependence on Him, even in the midst of these trouble and trying situations. In essence, praise is bragging about God instead of us or the idols of this world. Because when people low on money, they talk about it. They think about it. They tremble about it. Now, I know it's a real deal because I've been there, and you know, we've been there quite frequently. But it's not something, you know, I found out that stuff just weakens you when you think about it and talk about it and turn it over in your mind all the time and tell everybody how rough it is. And we use a colloquial expressions, I'm just being real, or it just got real. Or the struggle is real. Amen.
Amen.
It is celebrating who He is and how He relates to His people. So you zoom out and zoom in on God. Second characteristic is praise flows from our friendship with God. Praise flows from our friendship with God. So people who praise God on a consistent and regular basis do so because they have found the Lord to be altogether lovely and that they can't stop thinking about Him and talking about Him. See, when you get in a close friendship relationship with God, like Brother Hagin described one time, he said, God can get so close, He's closer to you than your spouse sleeping in the same bed next to you. He's closer to you than your head on that pillow is close to your head and hair. God can get real close and intimate with you. But where does he inhabit? The praises of his people. When you praise God, that's where he shows up. Hallelujah. In other words, praise that flows from a deep relationship with God is genuine and true. Your words and acts of adoration arise naturally from your heart. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you always feel like praising, because some people have gotten into a habit of saying, well, when my song's on, when that beat's right, when the organ's stroking, when it seems like somebody's singing out of singing their throat out or singing their lungs out, then we want to, because we're feeling it. But what about most of the time you're not feeling it? You got to have that friendship. You got to have that close relationship with God. See, in this truth, it doesn't matter when your relationship with God is deep and lasting. Praise comes to you no matter what your experience, because how you feel doesn't change who God is in your life. I want to say that again. Y'all got to get that. How you feel does not change who God is in your life. Amen. Come on now. Some of y'all need to get that, because you need to put your feelings under subjection. Amen. To your spirit. Because people say, I'm feeling depressed. I'm feeling discouraged. I'm feeling abandoned. I'm feeling lonely. Come on now. Y'all know these phrases. Y'all can relate to these phrases. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling frustrated. But that does not change who God is in your life. Third characteristic. Praise is a conscious choice. A conscious choice. Praise is an act of your will. Praise is a conscious choice. It's an act of your will. When you offer God true praise, you make a conscious decision to do the three threes we just talked about: to commend, to approve, and to glorify him. Praise, therefore, is not based on your emotions or feelings. You don't have to feel great or even good or even okay to praise the Lord. Despite many things in your life that may seem to be wrong, praise is your conscious choice, because you know that God is the answer to your problems. Amen. You know, we need to get in a habit, friends, of saying this to one another as faith friends. Did you pray about that? And then the second follow-up question to that is, well, did you praise God about that? Did you praise God in the middle of that? Because if a person's really zoomed in and locked into their pain and to their problem, oftentimes they don't want to pray. And God forbid, you mean I'm going to praise God when I feel this ugly? Amen. We need to double up on praising them when things are really ugly. How's your praise level? We'll just skip from the prayer to the praise, because in everything we're supposed to give thanks. For that's the will of God. That's what God wants you to do. In everything you give thanks. For that's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So when your family's all funky or your finances are all funny, in everything, we say, the scripture says, pray without ceasing, but we ought to praise without ceasing as well. Because God is the answer to our problems. Everybody say, God is the answer to my problems. Fourth characteristic, praise is a willing sacrifice. Praise is a willing sacrifice. Praise, biblical expressions of praise often include the word will. Listen to Exodus 5:12. These are all in the New Living. I think there's one in NIV. But Exodus 5:15:2, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Psalm 7:17. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Psalms 13, verse 6. This is out of the NIV this time. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. So how many times do you say, I'm going to sing to the Lord right now? I was talking to our brother here yesterday, and I said, man, I was singing. But I was singing over the people in the church. You know, God sings over us sometimes.
Praise God.
Amen. Because, you know, my prayer responsibilities includes praying for people in the church, praying for your family every day. That's an everyday assignment. That's not a day off thing. We shouldn't take a day off from praying and praising God and thanking God. So the Lord said, let's switch it up today. Let's start singing. And I was just thinking about it. I was just singing, and I was singing some of the Keith Moore songs. Always, always, we triumph again and again. Always, always, we triumph again and again. God is on my side. God is on my side. He takes the part with me against the enemy. God is on my side. Praise God. And singing hymns and spiritual songs. Well, nobody else in the room, just me. But I'm singing. You're praising God. I will sing. You make a choice to sing. Because evidently God likes singing. Didn't say he likes all the music. Per se, he likes your voice singing. You got to choose to sing. Psalms 34:1, stuck in New Living this time. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will constantly speak his praises. See, although will can indicate a future time, it can also speak of a conscious choice. In other words, I am determined to praise God. Now, how determined are you and us, you praising God, even in pain and great problems? Now, a lot of people want to just think about it, talk about it, ruminate over it. No, we got to be determined to praise God. See, that's what the scripture calls a sacrifice or offering of praise. Because it's going to take your determined, decided, conscious choice to do it. Because you don't feel like it, and certainly it seems like, based on circumstances, you shouldn't do it. Because there's no evidence that victory is there. Ooh, this is good stuff. Psalms 54:6, I will sacrifice a voluntary offering to you. I will praise your name, O Lord, for it is good. Hebrews 13:15, again, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. See, praise becomes a sacrifice when you offer your praises to God just because he deserves it and he asks you to do it. Now, God asked me to sing yesterday, praying over the people. He said, sing. And I had to go look up, and I even downloaded some of the songs he has there, and just so I can play them and sing them. It was a delight, but to him and me. Somebody say, glory to God. See, we are encouraged and urged through Scripture to sacrifice. What else do we sacrifice? Our hurt feelings, our financial problems, our troubles with our boss, our spouse, or our son or daughter on the altar of praise. So when you're sacrificing praise, you're not praising him because of the situation that's wrong. You're praising him in spite of the situation or the circumstance that is wrong on the altar of praise. You said this financial attack, this financial famine, I'm going to praise God in spite of it. I'm going to glorify God in spite of it. Hallelujah. So you got to sacrifice, friends, your hurt feelings, your bad moods, your bad attitudes. Come on now. Your financial problems, the pressure and troubles that you're under. Perhaps on your job or your boss or with your family members. On the altar of praise. You know, David said in the Psalms, it said about David, he prayed three times a day, but he praised and gave thanks seven times in a day. Was David intentional? Was David a good role model? Yes, because he was managing that whole kingdom, couple of million, maybe 3 million people or more. And he's king. He's got all kind of problems hitting him and pressures hitting him. He had pressures in his family, pressures on the kingdom, pressures in his enemies trying to attack him. He said, I'm going to praise God seven times a day. And sometimes we got to go from getting to no praise during the day to at least once a day. At least a couple of times a day, we take praise breaks, intentional praise breaks, where we praise and thank God. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So we have to make it our conscious choice to lay aside all that pulls you down and makes you afraid or causes you to feel like giving up. And open your mouth and talk to God in a beautiful praise language. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how thankful that you are that he is in your life. Tell him that you're glad that he's on your side. Tell him that he's worth more to you than everything else in the world. Come on now. Give him the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise won't cost you any money. But it will cost you your self-centeredness. And your natural tendency to dwell on whatever is wrong in your life. You got to get out of that pride and get into praise. Get out of that selfishness and self-centeredness and being self-absorbed with what's going on and what's going wrong with you and how bad your job is and how bad the people you work with are and how bad the finances are, how bad the family situation is. You got to get out of that and get into God. Get into praising God. Get into glorifying God. Get into giving God thanks. Woo! Glory to God. Giving God your sacrifice of praise means that you choose to dwell on him instead of yourself. Amen. Your mouth is filled with all that is good about God in your life instead of everything that is bad about your feelings, your environments, and your circumstances.
Amen.
If we could do it, we would requisition some praise meters. Put it on people's heads or your shoulder or something. And so you, when you walk in, you're on red, man, we had to put you on a gurney out there and say, wait a minute, we got to get some praise in you because, man, we don't want you putting a wet blanket on the service. Because some people who don't praise at all are like dead wood. You know, what do you call that wood in the they use for firecrackers and stuff? They call it punk wood. You know, there's a lot of punks in the church. Not praisers, punks. Now, I'm talking about punk wood. I'm not being slanderous. But that means they won't get on fire. They're retarded to praise. They call that wood fire retardant. But some people are praise retardant. They don't pray. and they don't praise. And they peddle doubt, fear, and unbelief and their bad feelings into the assemblies. Oh, praise God. I'm preaching real good tonight. Praise God. Leviticus 22:29. Listen to this. When you bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord. Now, we should all do this. So I said, well, that's the Old Testament. But he told us in the New Testament to offer sacrifice of praise to God to continue. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So how many things did you give him thanks for today? How many sacrifices of praise did you offer God through Jesus today? That's why we encourage people, do 10, at least thank him for 10 things. Get in a habit and a spiritual discipline of thanking him and praising him before anything else happens. Don't let the devil bombard and fill up and break down your mind with all the burdens and problems and pains and pressures of the day, and you walking around like a zombie. Your mouth is shut, and the only thing that comes out is complaining, crying, criticizing, condemning.
Amen.
Woo, glory to God. See, when you bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord, sacrifice it properly so it will be accepted. That means your attitude has to be one of gratitude. God, I appreciate you. I'm willing and I'm wanting to honor you, to glorify you, and to thank you and praise your holy name. Whew. Y'all making it a little tough on me there. See, complaining accomplishes nothing more than to further drain our strength. Now, why is it so bad to complain? Now, I can't remember if it was Peter Drucker or Jim Rome that said it. When you complain, you automatically regress all the way back to poverty level status. He said, you complain, you'll go broke. You will basically harpoon your finances when you complain about the lack of money or the not enough. And see, your Father God he takes it personal, like it's a personal attack against him and his faithfulness and his goodness, because we complaining all the time about the lack of what we don't have. And what do we say? Many of us heard this statement. I got it from Reverend Kate McVeigh. When we complain, we remain. When we praise, you'll be raised. So complaining accomplishes nothing more than further drain our strength. We call it spiritual and faith drainers. Complaining is so bad because it drains your spirit and it drains and drowns your faith. And when you don't have any strength in your spirit, it's difficult for your faith, listen, watch this illustration, it's difficult for your faith to grab and grip the promises of God and to hang on to it and hold on to the promises of God. Because when circumstances come, you get loose in your grip and you let the promises slip. Praise brings the Lord into our thoughts, thereby lifting us up above whatever is causing our struggle. Now, I know we got a lot of deep thinkers in here and probably online. And sometimes we don't need to think as much as we need to praise as more. Because we're always thinking and meditating on the lies of the devil, or meditating on the lies and the pain of our problem. See, praise brings the Lord into our thoughts. Get the devil out of your thoughts. Thereby lifting up above whatever is causing our struggle. Celebrate God by focusing on him instead of what is truly him instead of us, is truly the essence of praise. So it's taking you out of you and what's wrong with you and what's going on with you and taking you into him. Amen. So don't wait for things to go right before you start praising God.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Start praising the Lord and things will go right.
Hallelujah.
Perhaps the things are waiting on your praise. Things going right is waiting on your praise.
Hallelujah.
The final characteristic is we close. Y'all get something out of this tonight?
Amen.
The fifth characteristic, praise is an expression of faith. Now just briefly, praise is giving God all that he is due and giving him room in our life to do all he wants to do. So when God comes in and inhabits your praise, he's showing up. He's not going to sit there and just relax and go to sleep. He said, I'm here to work. I'm here to take care of business. What do you think God was doing when Jesus was giving and blessing those two fish and five loaves? God showed up, and his angels showed up and went to work and started cooking and multiplying that fish and multiplying that bread. You don't realize the miracles that are in our heart and mouth on the other side of our praise. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
When they were praising around Jericho 7 days and they shouted, man, the walls fell flat. They said that city was impenetrable back in the day. It was an embankment plus a high wall. That means it was impenetrable. And that thing just went flat. What was God doing? He was working with our praise. Brother Copeland always says, he said, praise is the big gun of faith. It's been said that praise is the highest form of faith. Because when Brother Hagin was waiting to receive the full manifestation of healing, he said, if you believe that you receive your healing, you would thank me for it. And he lifted both hands without nobody teaching him. No pastor taught him. Nobody in the church taught him. No family member taught him. He lifted both hands and began to praise and thank God. See, an attitude of faith in the midst of hard times is always the core of sacrificial praise because it's based on the assurance that anything is possible with God.
Amen.
What are you shouting about? What are you praising about? Because with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
It may seem impossible to you right now and what you look at things, but God, he specializes in miracles. God, there's nothing too hard for God. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? There's nothing too hard. Well, brother was talking about, is that God can get, he told one pastor, he said, I can make you a multi-billionaire by in the morning. I don't have to call nobody because he's God and there's nobody like him. There's no one bigger, no one better, no one stronger, no one wiser than our God. See, we may be, what may be impossible for man is not beyond the reaches of God because simply of who he is.
Amen.
So praise that clings to God, who God is, rather than what we, particularly as human beings, see and do, is the fundamental expression of faith. So it's an act or expression of faith. That means I can't feel, I can't get it done, but God can. So I'm going to introduce this problem to God by praising God, by magnifying God. So it is saying this, in essence, I'm closing with this. Praise God. I don't know what you're doing, Lord, why you're doing it, or how this whole thing is going to end up, but I trust you. I trust you, God. God, I know you will be faithful to me. You will never abandon me. Therefore, I'm going to obey you as much as I understand to do. The rest is up to you, Lord. Amen. Lord, I do this because you are my God and my Savior. All that I have and ever hope to be is yours, Father God. And I thank you and I glorify your holy name. in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand and thank God right now. Stand and thank God. Praise him right now. Hallelujah. I think some things clicked